Individual names have been changed or removed from this program to protect the identity of callers.
Everyone, and again, Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us here at Hope in the Night Radio and Hope for the Heart. I am Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt, and tonight we're opening up a program again with more Christmas trivia. June and I have done this for many, many years. We so enjoy doing it. We have fun. I hope, listening friend, you have fun as well tonight. And June, what do you got for us?
I want to know, what general and future president was named the Supreme Allied Commander of
Dwight
the Invasion
D. Eisenhower.
Forces December 24th, 1943. And you are exactly correct.
Yes.
Dwight D. Eisenhower from Texas, by the way.
That's right.
All right, moving to a different part from away from Texas. What part of the whale is an Eskimo Christmas delicacy?
The blubber.
It's the whale blubber. Yeah, that's just
blubber.
I don't know. Somehow that just doesn't.
I think that's an onomatopoeia. You know, it sounds like what it is. Blubber. Blubber.
What 1959 film pitted Santa against Satan? Santa against Satan. Yeah, that is not good.
Satan versus the Satan Claus.
It was called Santa Claus. And so I don't know about that. I didn't see that.
Who would make that movie and who would watch that movie?
Not somebody. No wonder we don't know about it.
That's right.
Okay. What do children beneath the cloak of the ghost of Christmas present represent? What do the children beneath the cloak of the ghost of Christmas present represent?
Needy children? Children?
They are called ignorance and want.
Huh. Lesson in literary,
yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Tonight.
Blubber. Yeah. What do children carolers in Ireland do to their faces?
They
make them a different color.
Oh, they make them white.
And if it's not white,
red.
it's
black.
Black, yes.
Boy, it's the second time this season we've had questions about faces painted black.
Yeah. Okay. In Joy to the World.
Yes.
Who sang?
The angels.
And
Joy to the World. Heaven and nature sing.
Heaven and nature sing. And the scripture actually states that. In terms of Cratchit, the bookkeeper, the man who worked for Scrooge,
how
does Scrooge improve Cratchit's life the day after Christmas?
Makes him partner.
And he gives him a financial
raise.
See, now that's what people
Folks,
are hoping
if he did
for
make him
tomorrow.
Partner, please don't send me letters.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact
But
he did get an increase.
He did get an increase, and who knows? Maybe that's what's going to happen tomorrow for some wonderful people who are listening
right now.
What cranky My Three Sons actor represented the shipping department in Christmas in July?
Oh, William Demarest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uncle Charlie from My Three Sons, yes.
Mm-hmm. What does the word Advent mean?
Coming or appearing.
It is coming. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. What novelty song was composed by Ross Bagdasarian and released under his pseudonym David Seville?
Grandma got done run over by a reindeer.
That's a good guess. We've talked about it before.
Oh, Oh, Christmas time. The Chipmunk song.
The Chipmunk song. Yes. That's, I know.
Oh, yeah, because David, yeah, he was the voice of all the Chipmunks. I know you're talking about.
Yes, of all of them. That's correct.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And on what date does the action of the Nutcracker actually unfold?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve is absolutely correct. Yes. You know that very, very well. Mm-hmm. When you think about I'm trying to decide how to say this, in Brazil.
Yes, Brazil.
What scene is a pesebre? Pesebre.
That's the nativity scene.
It is the manger scene. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. And what did James Monroe do to John Quincy Adams on St. Nicholas Day in 1820? This is not a good thing for one of them.
He short-sheeted him.
No, but it's politicians don't like it when that happens to them.
Oh, wow. Well, he beat him in the
election.
Yeah,
he did. He did. On what date is Little Christmas celebrated in Ireland?
That would be Christmas Eve.
And if it's in January?
Oh, Epiphany.
It might be what date? Oh, well, I'll give you some choices. How about January 6th? January.
January 6th.
Okay, I was going to give you others, but you got.
But isn't that Epiphany, David?
I just had an epiphany. 6th. Yes. You are exactly
so
right.
So I was right the first time. But
you were always right.
No, I'm not. I'm half left.
We want to wish you a marvelous year this Christmas. From this point on, may it be a very, very special time for you as you think about your life and all that God wants to make in you, of you, and do to you and through you.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart. Available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
Again, Merry Christmas to all of us at Hope in the Night Radio and Hope for the Heart. To each of you listening tonight, I'm Jim Kress, and a program about offering God's truth for today's problems. We have had Christmas trivia all season long here. It's been a lot of fun. we enjoyed doing that. And we hope that, well, the balance of this Christmas and holiday season will be a good one for you moving into New Year's. The Hope Line open at 800-488-HOPE. To order any of our resources, you can check that out tonight, 800-488-4673. Glad you have stopped by tonight. You know, Jesus was born in a manger, which you look at what that was. That was a real messy place, wasn't it? Think about what a, you know, Google or Bing that sometimes, what a real manger was like. And I always love this time of year to remind ourselves, I remind those I have the privilege of counseling and walking with, that Jesus loves to be born into the mess of our lives. Wherever you are tonight, maybe you're listening some place that I've never even imagined. Know this, that it's never too late to start doing what's right. Maybe you're far away from God, you're even feeling lonely or abandoned tonight. I encourage you to invite Jesus Christ, the child that we celebrate here, the birth of the Christ child, invite him, say, Jesus, come be born into my mess, this messy part of my life. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. Jesus came and he died to save us from our sins. Because the wages or payment of our sins, the Bible says, is death. We'll be apart from God forever. But the gift of God, here's Christmas, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So right where you are tonight, if you can say in your heart, because this is what the Bible teaches, that you believe that Jesus Christ was born, we celebrate that at Christmas, and that he lived and that he died on a cross to save you from your sins. And then, as the Scripture says, according to the Scriptures, he rose again on the third day and promises us eternal life. If you believe, as John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto God the Father except through me. And right where you are tonight, what a great Christmas gift. Well, it's the ultimate Christmas gift. If you say, I believe that Jesus Christ came to save me, then you could pray right now. Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins, and I trust right now in faith Jesus Christ, your Son, as my only way to heaven. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ right now as my Lord and Savior. Please save me, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, put it in your own words, and you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, welcome to the family of God. You could call our Hope Line tonight and say, I've just received the ultimate Christmas gift, the literal Christ child. If more questions about that, they'll talk to you there too. Our Hope Care representatives will do that tonight. I hope too that if you say, no, I know I'm a Christian, I've just wandered far away from God. Remember the old song, Lord, I'm coming home. Wherever you've been tonight, it's never too late to start doing what's right. And as though God is looking from the heavens tonight saying, my son or my daughter, isn't it time to get back to what you know is right? To return, like maybe a prodigal, to come home. The invitation right there is for you to come. I am Jim Kress, your friend on the radio tonight here with June Hunt, and I do pray the peace of Jesus Christ, that Christ child, would guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus tonight, wherever you may be. Well, let's have a little bit of Christmas music. It's all about Jesus Christ. Here's June from The Hope of Christmas.
the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lay his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from this earth, born to give us. Let of his love, the wonders, wonders of his
And there's the music of June Hunt, and from The Hope of Christmas, a medley of songs. We heard Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Away in a Manger, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and Joy to the World. With June's CDs, again, buy four CDs, get one free. Buy four, get one free, and yes, you can mix and match those if you'd like, and I hope you'll do that. Call tonight. They'll tell you how to order them at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. And again, maybe you know someone who's having a tough time in life, and you'd be able to get one of those CDs and give to them, someone in time of grief or loss or just a tough time in life. You wouldn't have to say a word to them. Just get one of June's CDs. You say, well, what are the different songs of them? Our Hope Care representatives can tell you about that. And again, you can find out about that tonight. 1-800-488-4673. I'm Jim Kress here with June Hunt on your radio. We're going to get back to our phone calls tonight on the program and see what God's up to in the lives of our listeners. And again, Merry Christmas to all of us, from all of us to all of you. Well, yeah, and to all of us too, right? At Hope for the Heart and Hope in the Night Radio. It's a joy to be able to come your way through the medium of Christian radio and make a difference in your life. And we hope we're doing that. If you ever want to send June an email just to let her know that you're listening and that her ministry here on the air is making a difference in your life, you can do that. Just simply June@hopeforthehearts.org. That's June@hopeforthehearts.org. All right, let's take a break. Some important words of announcement, and we'll come back. More Hope of the Night Radio coming your way right after this.
Internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. The Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our care center phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
back with you on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us here at Hope. Hope of the Night at Hope for the Heart, the international ministry based in Plano, Texas. Hope it's been a good Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for you and the rest of this Christmas and holiday season. May it be just filled with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and family and still good food and friends and all those things that we celebrate this time of year. Our Hope line again is 1-800-488-HOPE, toll-free 1-800-488-4673. Talk to our Hope Care representatives there tonight. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines. That's what this program is all about. Up first tonight, let's say hi to Penny.
Hello, Penny. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. How can we help you?
Well, my question tonight is, my ex-husband is married to my ex-daughter-in-law, my son's ex-wife. And this has been recently that they were married. The question was, since the year 2008, it was just suspicion that they were together. It was a lot of deception and a lot of lies and cover-ups, and I don't know, so just twisted it. There's grandchildren involved. There's two different states where grandkids can't be seen.
And I want to make sure that I'm catching this now. You said it's your ex-husband. Okay, I've got that. Is married to your son's ex-wife.
Yes, my daughter-in-law, yes.
Your daughter-in-law.
And yes. The affair began while she was still married to my son. It was hidden. It was not in the opening. It was just speculated that it was going on, but no one could believe it. I mean, it still is unbelievable to the rest of the family.
So did this precipitate the divorce that your son experienced with his wife, who is now his ex-wife?
It all began before they were divorced. It was a reason for them to get a divorce, yes.
Yes, yes. Wow. Okay. And you said it was hidden, obviously. I mean, that makes sense.
And twisted. And, I mean, it's been such a web of deception, and it affects everyone. It's, you know, we raised three sons, and there's grandchildren involved. There's isolation. It's, you know, a woman's taking a man away from his family.
Right.
She took my son away from his family, and then now she's taken his dad away from his family. And there's a lot of broken hearts and a lot of healing, and everyone's, you know, just feels like they can accept it and go on, but everyone knows healing needs to happen. And we go to church for a while. I've led my other sons to church, and that works, and then it just seems to recycle again. It doesn't seem to get resolved, totally resolved.
Okay, so you, just from a timing situation, do I assume, well, I'll just ask, was your husband, were you and your husband divorced when this affair started?
Yes, we were, well, I say yes. That's a question, too. I don't, you know.
You don't know when it started?
Yeah, I don't know really as when it started. Because everything, you know, hindsight, I mean, we were civil at the time. We were still seeing our grandchildren. We were still best friends at the time. There were no, we were divorced, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted the grandchildren in our life, and, you know, we were there for them and for my son and his wife, and we helped them out a lot and visited back and forth. And then at some point, the whole tables turned. I don't really know. I mean, I could just speculate that, you know, it'd be easy for me to say she was a jealous woman. She wanted more. But I don't really know the truth. Everything's been so turned and twisted and confused, and a lot of lies, a lot of deception, a lot of hurt, hurting each other intentionally. I'm talking about my son and the daughter-in-law, and everyone tried to keep up with it and intervene, and then everyone got sucked into this bad vortex, and no one really knows what the truth is. And at this point, it doesn't matter. It just keeps recycling. We can't seem to move forward as a family anymore.
I know you use that word recycling. It's a pretty good word. What does that look like when you? What I'm hearing is it's like, okay, you'll be going along, like going to church, but then all of a sudden. It recycles. What does that look like when it recycles?
It's ugly all over again. It's like, you know, I've forgiven. I've had the dream where I forgave, and I was just, it was in my dream. It was so real that my veins were just flushed, free of everything, and it felt good to forgive. And and I have forgiven him. I can't forgive her. And then something will trigger it. One of my sons will say something, and then it just causes that emotions to all come back to full circle, and it's just cycles all over. And I have to remind myself that of the dream I had and how I felt during that dream from forgiveness. But it's more my ex-daughter-in-law. I can't move past her. I can't forgive. I tried to get on my knees. I tried to pray. I tried to forgive. And then my first thoughts in the morning is they're horrible thoughts. They're you know, I wish she'd drowned. I wish she'd, you know, even though I'm trying, it's not real. I mean, I'm not, it's not from my heart, I guess. It's like I know I should do that, but I can't.
Yeah, you know, I want to say I appreciate you even having words. There are many people, I'm going to be very, very blunt here. There are many people who want somebody dead. And that means, you know, you're wanting the pain to stop. You're wanting to get past whatever it is. And, you know, most people won't come out with the words, but you have said it. But I'm hearing it as explanation. And I'm hearing you don't want to have that, yet it's like, but I can't make myself change because it's like you feel stuck. Is that correct?
I am stuck. I've actually gone to school. I've changed my career. I changed. It doesn't just affect me. It's even though my children are grown, they have their own lives. They have their own family. There's something that has blocked. It's like they're afraid to be around me. We remind each other of the good times and how, you know, it could be. It's just there's pain that's been filtered through my other son's relationship with his father. That's been destroyed. He pops in their lives, pops out of their lives. There's a lot of betrayal. There's a lot of my sons protecting, they feel like they have to, you know, the son that whose wife is now with his father, he wants his brothers to be on his side. That's not good. They have to, I mean, there's just, that's the whole cycle of it. It's like everyone between themselves, they want to have, the other two sons want a relationship with their father, but the oldest son says, you know, how can you have a relationship? You know, mm-hmm. there's just so much involved.
Well, betrayal is a horrible word. I mean, it's a powerful word, but it's to experience betrayal is one of the most devastating experiences. And so it's understandable, like if your son, if your own father takes your wife, that is it's bizarre, and it's understandable that he wants his brothers to side with him, and yet there is a familial that sounds clinical. There's family relationships. Everybody wants to have the best relationship they can have, and it gets mixed up because you can think back on good times when things were far more healthy than they obviously are now. So it's understandable that it's a mess. The thing that I noticed twice was that you were pinpointing your son's ex-wife, your former daughter-in-law, and yet you did not single out, you singled her out, but you did not single out your husband in terms of just comments. Then you came back and you did say, I have forgiven him, meaning my ex-husband.
I have a dream that I forgave him, and the dream seemed so real to me, and I don't know where it came from. I just felt like it was from God, mm-hmm. that he gave me that dream, because it was the most amazing dream, one of the most I've ever had in my life, and it was like I had been flushed out. That's the best way I could describe the feelings, like my veins had been flushed.
Okay.
It was such a high the next morning, and, you know, and I got started with my third career, and then, like I said, my oldest son will come into the picture, and it just, and with him brings chaos and confusion, and it just brings it all back around, and ugly all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, you know, everybody points fingers, I hate finger pointing, mm-hmm. and yet I'm doing it too, because just knowing the history that I know.
Right.
And it's,
okay.
You know, like I said, deception, so much deception.
Okay. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask two questions. Number one, what are you hoping for when we end up talking at the end of the call? What are you hoping for? And then number two, what do you think forgiveness actually means? What is that word, forgiveness? What does that mean?
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221. As believers, we celebrate the arrival of the baby Jesus this time of year. In your lifetime, there are two important questions about Jesus that you must answer. Do you believe he is God? And what will you do with him? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. We have, as a special offer to our listeners today, a book that June Hunt has written titled, Jesus, Is He God? We want you to have this book for just $5.
In fact, if you're brand new to our ministry, we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you are new to our ministry, we'll provide the book to you with a simple toll-free phone call, 800-488-HOPE. If you're calling to purchase the book, you might consider bypassing our busy phone lines with a visit to our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673, or hopefortheheart.org.
Radio, Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. And again, the talk show line open at 1-800-NIGHT-17. Come on in with a question. 1-800-NIGHT-17. Any question, an hour and about 15 minutes left in the show tonight. You can talk with June Hunt, Biblical Counsel for Your Life, 800-NIGHT-17. Let's mention a few topics here tonight. First of all, the materials on forgiveness. Heart of the Matter series on that topic, including June's best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. Materials also on the topic of adultery, how to escape the snare of an affair, and the materials we have on the dysfunctional family. You can call to order these resources tonight. All the materials we have here, they're biblical, practical, and relevant. Check those out tonight at 1-800-488-4673. Well, great conversation. Let's get back to it. June in tonight here with Penny.
Well, my heart truly goes out to you. This is truly a bizarre situation. You know, I know I grew up in a bizarre home, but mine wasn't that bizarre, and it wasn't the scenario you described. I'd like to know, what do you hope to experience when we finish talking?
Well, I would like to know the truth. There's been a lot of just he said, she said, tangled, just confusion. I would hope that my son's father would reveal something to their sons to put an end of all the questions of why he's left them out too, and their children out too, and just stand up and be a man and, you know, let everyone know what's real, what's true. So
what is he saying? What does he say? You say you want people to know the truth. You want him to be a man, stand up.
He avoids it. He'll make plans with his other children, and then the plans will get broke, and then he, you know, then the he said, she says of him running to Georgia and being in Georgia with the grandchildren that are in Georgia. When they talk to their dad, they say, Papa Bear's here. They're hiding it from the grandkids that they're married. Supposedly, the oldest one knows, but not the youngest one. It gets more tangled and more tangled. And
okay.
Because there's so much deception that I think everyone would feel better and could, you know, find a little more peace if there wasn't so many questions of, you know, what are you doing? Are you married? Are you not married? Why can't you tell us? Why do we have to hear it from, you know, what's going on?
Well, you know, there are people, I'm going to be very explicit, they're private investigators. They can quickly find out if somebody's married. It's a matter of court record. So if there needs to be proof of something, of a marriage, that can be determined by just getting hiring a person who has an expertise in that area, and I'm talking about to get to the absolute truth, not what just somebody says. Because what I keep hearing is, in your words, there are so many, there's so much deception, so much finger pointing, basically, you know, ignoring, answering questions. So that could be quickly, I'd say quickly, in just a matter of a relatively short amount of time, that could be discerned if you want to go that route. But, and you can't make someone tell the truth, but if you were to have a document that showed indeed that there is a marriage, because what I'm hearing you say is your oldest son has communicated that they his ex-wife now and your ex-husband are married, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how does he know that?
Oh, it gets even more complicated. He knows that because his stepson, here we go, his stepson.
Are you talking about your ex-husband's stepson?
Possibly.
Oh.
Or my son's stepson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was told by his mother that she married his grandfather, and then he told, see, here we go, he said, she said, mm-hmm. he told his biological father, which is a friend of my son's, and that's how he found out.
Well, one thing that I said a moment ago is a marriage certificate is a matter of public record. And so that can be determined. Now, there are times when some people call themselves married because they're living together. And there are in different states, there are different laws as to how long you can live together to have a common law marriage, to be a common law wife, etc. And I'm just throwing that out because the question of marriage ceremony is, I know it can be bizarre. I grew up in a home where there were all kinds of things like this, and we're not, I mean, it's just very, you know, with my dad, with multiple women, and there were certain people who were supposed to be, he was supposed to be married to. You know, it's just, and I'm saying that only because I really do understand the convoluted pain. It's twisted, and it can eat at you. And I will tell you, I also know about the part about the lack of forgiveness, where I even thought it was wrong to forgive. So, because I thought, well, that's letting him get away with it. And so what I'm hearing from you, though, is you know that forgiveness has a part in here somewhere. Explain to me what you think the word forgiveness means. What is forgiveness?
Well, forgiveness to me is known as, as there's peace that follows it. It's when I had the dream of actually forgiving, it was a high that I felt. Even after I woke up and remembered the dream, I don't know. It was like so real, so relieving, so peaceful, so it was awesome. I don't.
But what does it mean?
What does forgiveness mean?
Uh huh.
Forgiveness means to me, it's forgiveness is just, I'm a loss for words. Forgiveness is just of letting go and just to move forward and to know that, you know, God forgave us by sending his son to die on the cross. And we have to forgive because we were all forgiven through him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like if you don't forgive, then, you know, it becomes a burden. And
right.
It's just, I can't forgive her. I've tried over and mm-hmm. over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not coming from my heart. It's, you know, my head tells me to forgive her,
mm-hmm.
but my heart won't mm-hmm. allow it.
Okay. It's going to be very important that we be clear about that word forgiveness and to understand what it is and what it is not. I can understand you wanting clarification. I know that you know that it is right to forgive, but I also know that you're feeling, but I can't. And that's not unusual because a lot of times it's a matter of I don't feel I can, and it's based on feelings. Well, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. An act of the will. And it's forgiveness. If you forgive someone, you are releasing your resentment toward your offender. The word forgive means to release, to send away. It is releasing your right regarding toward the offense, meaning you release your right to dwell on the offense. You release your right to hold on to the offense. You release your right to keep bringing up the offense. And ultimately, this is not excusing what happened. It is not letting a person off the hook. It is taking that person off of your hook, putting, in this case, your daughter-in-law, ex-daughter-in-law, you're taking her off of your hook. Because right now you're in bondage. Every time you think of her, it's eating your lunch. And so you don't like how this feels. You don't like how it's impacting you with other family members. So you take her off of your hook and you literally put her onto God's hook. It's taking her off of your hook, putting her onto God's hook. Now, why would you do that? Well, number one, and you are correct in one thing you said, and by the way, we're going to talk about this. We're going to much more thoroughly talk about this beginning the next hour. But there's a poignant scripture. It's Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So, you're right. We didn't deserve to be forgiven. And I'm hearing that you do understand that. And part of what we are to do is to do what God did for us. We didn't deserve to be forgiven. He forgave us. Others don't deserve to be forgiven. It's not based on what is deserved. You do it because God tells you to do it, and in the process, it sets you free. There's a freedom because you're literally, I think it's best to look at it focusing on the other person's, not the fault, but you're focused on the person's need. Now, she needs a changed life through Christ. We'll talk about forgiveness when we return.
and Give Our Material of Forgiveness, the best-selling book by June 2, 800-488-HOPE. We'll be right back. Hope of the Night Radio Hour 2 underway. Tim Kress here with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. And again, if you'd like to order the materials tonight on, for one, the topic of adultery, the snare of an affair, if you had in your marriage the reality of adultery come in, you can find out how to order that material. Also, the materials on forgiveness and June's best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. Call to order those tonight. Those resources invest in your life, for the life of someone else you know or love. And you can do that tonight at 800-488-4673. Well, let's go ahead and get back to the phones here, starting off hour two tonight. June, back to your conversation with Penny.
Well, Penny, you have described a situation where your husband, who became your ex-husband, now is married to your son's wife, basically ex-wife.
Right.
And that means that when your ex-husband, I think you said that they were having an affair while still married to your oldest son, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And
which no one believed it was true, because he was a man of integrity. I mean, that's how far out the whole thing is and how bizarre it is.
Okay. In
the
other words,
I was married to would never have done that. It's I can't help but feel like it's just the way I thought she was a witch. That's what I thought. She just had witch. She's very, very powerful and good at what she does, and she's has turned everyone against everyone, came into the family, given orders. He brought chaos into our whole family's lives. And she went after the dad, and I just assumed she was a witch. And she seems to have a whole lot of power over everything, of destroying people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to forgive her, and it, mm-hmm. and I can't. And it's so evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it is evil. And I think you're using that word witch euphemistically. I'm assuming you're not using it as in a person who practices witchcraft, correct?
Well, I don't know, but I've just never seen evil like that. So that's just what I'm assuming. I don't know if she practiced it or not. As far as I'm in, just some of the conversations I've had, just her words, it's like she's put a curse on my whole family, and with twisting and turning. That's why I keep using the word deception, because it's so many incidents that are so bizarre and so unbelievable that you would have had to live it because you can't. I can't even express all of the incidents that have happened.
Yes. Well, let me make one comment that. When I mentioned the possibility of you checking the public record for marriages, or there'll be a marriage certificate, but there are in certain states where, like, your ex-husband could not marry a daughter-in-law, but, you know, at what point did she become an ex-daughter-in-law? My understanding is normally that would not be, a marriage would not be allowed, but it could be up to the judge's discretion. And I'm saying that because sometimes there are ceremonies. The only it may not be a legal marriage.
Oh, like from Mexico. I know they go to Mexico all the time. And okay. That's what everyone was suspecting, that they did it in Mexico.
Uh-huh. So it depends on the jurisdiction of the location where the marriage took place, supposed marriage took place. So I'm just making a clarification here. I think at issue is you look at, okay, what can I do? You know, at times when we have situations and we see wrong is prevailing, you ask yourself, is there anything I can do about this? And sometimes there are things you can do about it, and other times there's nothing you can do about it. Now, as you well know, you don't have the ability to change another person.
Right.
But you know also, at the same time, you don't feel good, you don't feel right when you begin to, you talked about how things can be, you know, can start going right, and then all of a sudden, it's just this, it's like, I picture like this tidal wave that comes over you and the family, and everything gets so convoluted. So, with all the deception and the lies and all. So let's come back. I know you said you have tried to forgive and you can't. Well, let me just assure you of this one thing. God would never tell you to do something that you cannot do. That would be cruel of God to do that. And so let's figure out, what is it that God wants you to do now?
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our Care Center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
The Internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. The Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our Care Center phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. Any night you want to go on the air, it is 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Well, tonight, in light of Penny's call, let's talk about some materials. Materials on adultery, the snare of an affair, Heart of the Matter series. Also, the materials on forgiveness and June's best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. You can call to order these biblical, practical relevant resources tonight at 1-800-488-4673. And again, from all of us here at Hope for the Heart to all of you, wherever you may be listening tonight, Merry Christmas, and may the continued celebration of this Christmas season, the holiday season, be a joy to you. May it be a time of just rich getting together with family and friends and a lot of celebrating and some rest along the way, too, I hope. Thanks so much. Again, I'm Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Let's head back to the phone lines here on Hope of the Night Radio, where June is talking with Penny.
Well, Penny, I am glad you called because I know that you feel that so much that's in your life right now has been twisted all around, not just the truth twisted, not just the deception, but painful relationships. I mean, you want to have the healthiest relationships that you can have with all your family, correct?
Correct.
And what I'm hearing is you said your children are afraid. Did you say that your children kind of are afraid to be around you?
They're not afraid to be around me. It's just the whole thing is awkward, and it feels awkward. It's not discussed. It's basically, it's my oldest son cries out to his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like they should do something, and therefore he keeps it recycling where the rest of us, I think, could have the healthy relationship. And I've led them to God. I've led them to church.
Uh-huh.
It's private now. It's because it's been going on for so long. But it just keeps...
And how long is so long?
Well, let me think. They got a divorce. My son and his wife got a divorce in 2008. And the dad paid for that divorce, which, you know, at the
wow.
time, he was saying that it was a loan. And it was going to be, I mean, you know,
that,
or no one really knew what to believe or you know, no one believed. Of course, everyone wanted to believe him because he was, I mean, we did our best to raise our kids truthfully.
And by the way, you experienced a divorce because?
We just kind of, our kids grew up and we just, after they were grown, we just said, well, let's get a divorce. It wasn't an angry divorce and, you know, and then we continue sharing and doing family stuff. And
okay, but there's a reason why people, you know, typically like women kind of like their nest and they like the home. So what is the real reason? What's the real reason that you got a divorce?
I think the real reason was we just grew apart. And we had talked about it earlier. There was just, you know, it seemed like things had died in the relationship. And we had been to a judge before, and both of us sat down and talked with a lawyer and agreed to get a divorce. I think a lot of it had to do with just going through the strife of raising three boys, and we were just kind of tired and sick of each other and thought it would be better if grass was greener. And you
okay,
know,
and so who initiated it first?
Well, we kind of both did. It was kind of, the way it was initiated was actually in front of a judge. A 16-year-old son was, you know, fell in school, and I was determined to get him out of school and into another. I thought if I moved him away, you know, and I moved him away, and that's what sort of triggered the whole thing. Well, I'm taking him, and I'm moving because you're not standing up as a father. I don't know. It was just, it's just not one thing. It was just agreeable.
Okay, so you didn't feel he was taking the stand that he needed to take?
No, no stand, no support, no, you know, I felt like I had to do all of it. And
does that mean financially too?
No, not financially. He was the financial backbone of it. I worked after my kids got in school, and, you know, I was a stay-at-home mother. It was a very old-fashioned marriage, and we did without a lot of things, and, you know.
Okay.
I mean, that's going back a long time ago, though. But we were, basically, we were more best friends than we were, say, husband and wife. We had known each other since we were 15, and, you know, it was a partnership. It was just a partnership that just grew old, I think. I don't know. I really can't. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Okay, so he...
But
he,
I do
so,
know
so,
I
so need to, neither know. Of you were having someone else... on the side, there was no other person, like infidelity?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Okay, so there were not really biblical grounds for divorce.
Right.
And you didn't feel that that was an issue?
It was more just problems with the children, I think.
Okay. Okay. I'm just trying to understand your mindset. And okay. So okay, well, you know, obviously the most the biggest consternation in terms of all the people that have been mentioned here is your son's ex-wife. Somehow you've been able to forgive your ex-husband because they are supposedly married, but you know, every time her name comes up, I mean, it is very, very hard when you have tried to forgive and you can't forgive and you don't know what to do. So I want to go back. Let's when you first met her, I'd like to know how. I want you to be very specific with specific detail. How has she caused pain? You pain. What you've said clearly is you feel that she's been like a witch, and that she kind of came on. Are you saying she came on to your former husband?
Absolutely. It was, well, I don't think it was just her. I think it was them. I mean, I think it was all intended. I feel like it was intended. It was, they moved down and he was going to get them a job so we'd have the grandkids around us. I think we were living together at that time in our residence that we raised our kids, and we were good. We're good with kids. We love children.
Yeah. So you were married at the time, and so he moved.
No, we weren't married. We were divorced.
Okay.
But we were still friends.
Okay. All right. So you lived at the same under the same roof. I think
We had a home.
Okay.
Yes, and.
Okay. All right.
And
so
then they came, and then they came down, and he got her a job, and I feel like the intentions were jealousy. I think she was jealous of the relationship that, you know.
Jealous of what? Or
of
who?
The relationship that he and I had. I don't think she understood it. And I think she when she went to work for him, you know, it's like she stole my identity, is what. Everything I liked, she liked. Everything. It's like she wanted what I had. And in the long run, she got it. She got it all. And
I see. So she started working for him.
Right.
Okay. And, okay, so you're saying that she was jealous of the relationship that you all had.
Right.
And so she stole it. She stole your identity, because she would basically like the things you'd like and everything, and knowing that
she had her own identity. She knew everything I liked, and that became her favorite. She started dressing like me. I mean, it was just
okay. Okay, and so what
she
else?
She even went as far as was answering, was pretending to be him and sending me text messages while I was keeping the grandkids while they were working. And then it was like, Mom, my son would say, Mom, every text message you send Dad, Dad's not responding. That's her responding. Well, at the time, we didn't know there was an affair. No one wanted to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling us it was going on, but everyone refused to believe that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about, you know, the rest of us.
The rest of the family.
Right.
Right.
And it ended up that it was true, and it just, got deeper and deeper, more painful, and then she went back to Georgia, divorced. He basically is in Georgia every weekend, and for the last 4 years, and denying everything to his other children. And then, as about 2 weeks ago, it came out that, oh, they're married. By the way, they're married. What? So it's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like you've got a place for it. You put it away somewhere.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
No, you can't change it, even though there was a lot of back and forth. He said, she said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just still goes on.
Yeah. Well, clearly, when there are affairs, there's lust, and the lust of the flesh, there's an inflamed relationship where basically heart leads the head. There's not rational thinking, and it's literally adultery of the heart, which Jesus certainly is strongly against. Now, when we come back, and you can make a list during this break, I want to know what else has caused you pain that she has done, because we're going to do something with this list. I know it is terribly painful to all the family, because many people don't even know what the truth is. We'll be back.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value.
Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress with June Hunt. And again, we do love being part of your life. Invite you to join us any night you want to go on the air, 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Tonight, mentioning again, in light of Penny's call, materials on the topic of adultery, the snare of an affair. And we've also mentioned the topic of forgiveness, including June's best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. All of these can be ordered, and hope you will order them tonight at 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. We'll talk to our Hope Care representatives there at that number tonight. They'll help you out again, 1-800-488-4673. Back to your conversation here now, June, with Penny.
Well, dear one, I can see why this has been incredibly painful in your life to have your own ex-husband now married to your son's wife, as in ex-wife, and so it's very convoluted, and especially when truth is not when stories are told differently, and people in the family, they don't know what to think, and one person assumes one thing, one person assumes another. You've told me several things about why it's so painful in regard to your ex-daughter-in-law, that she basically she ruined the family. She's jealous of you. That's very interesting how when she moved to where you all lived, the town and the state, she was jealous of your relationship with your husband, and she began to do everything like what you would do. That's what you mean by basically stealing your identity, just liking the things you liked and replicating you.
Right.
And then at times answering for, it sounds like you were texting, is that right, or emailing? And yet it would be, she would be answering actually for your ex-husband, but you're thinking you're talking to him, and instead you're talking to her, and she's communicating in his, with his words.
Right.
So was that texting or emailing? Which one?
No, it was basically texting.
Okay, texting.
It's been a one. She would, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I didn't know that. All I knew was, wow, he, you know, in my opinion, it was, well, that's not him. I mean, I knew it wasn't him, but I really didn't know it was her. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just been so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I just wanted to, you know, it's not going to end. That's what I've realized.
Well, there are certain things that can change. Tell me what else has been so painful in regard to her.
The other painful part is, you know, my granddaughter's been taken away from me. It's like I didn't do anything to cause any of this, and yet the penalty that I pay is, you know, she broke up the family, and I can't see my grandchildren. They've made it very difficult for my son to see his children.
Mm.
She isolates.
Mm-hmm.
But she did the same thing to my son. She isolated him for the 7 years they were married, and took him away from us.
Yes.
And then came back just for money, you know, a good paying job, which didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, you know, it's who she is, and I guess I kind of get that, and I guess that's why I can't think like that, and I'm just so totally the opposite. I'm the giver, and she's the taker, you know, and she took. I mean, she took everything and destroyed, you know, she just... She just leaves a path of destruction behind her.
Right. And so how old is your granddaughter?
Oh, well, my granddaughter is six.
Six, okay. And what are the other ages of the other children?
Well, she has a 12-year-old by another
okay.
husband.
Okay.
So there's those two. And, you know, out of all this darkness, I've actually become very good friends of that family.
Mm.
They actually warned me of this right after the wedding, and I didn't say anything to anyone that everything mm-hmm. they said was going to happen actually happened just the way they said
mm-hmm.
it, because she had done the same thing in her first marriage.
Okay, so, the isolation.
Yeah, isolated yeah. the husband from mm-hmm. the family. He said, nobody likes me. It was the same thing she came into my family and did. I mean, she's a manipulator.
Kind of plays the victim role.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We had always had a revolving door of friends, and you know, so this was just a whole new
mm-hmm.
we don't know people like her.
Okay. All right, so she's a manipulator, basically taking the family away so that you don't have access to your granddaughter, your 6-year-old, and just what else? What else has been so painful? What else has been so hard to forgive?
For me to forgive her?
Correct.
I don't know. I guess that's just the most recent. It's just the fact that she left a path of destruction, and no one really can move forward. Everybody's kind of just in pain, and we talk about counseling, and no one really has the time to go through the whole counseling. You know, I probably have done the most reading, and
mm-hmm.
you know, because my life doesn't involve having anyone that I care for. Therefore, everyone else's lives, their lives go on with their families, their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have more of the alone time, I guess, to ponder, to think, to read, mm-hmm. to try to get myself going. And I've done that, and then mm-hmm. it just everything seems to cycle back. It's just one little something, and it all just floods back into me.
Right.
All the old resentments, everything you said, mm-hmm. you said it a lot better than I can say it.
Well, but you're feeling it right now, heavy duty. And the important thing right now is for you to know that when God sees us, He sees the pain, and He cares deeply. The Bible says that his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. He has compassion for you. And part of His role for you is to learn literally what it really takes. What does it mean to be able to give up this resentment, which you're really not wanting to carry? Now, you know, the fact is, I'm going to compliment you here, because there are people who refuse to ever try to forgive, because when you choose not to forgive, it puts you in a position higher than the other person. So it's a power position. And those who make a choice saying, I refuse to forgive, then what they're doing is they're looking at the other person, down on the other person, and it actually enables them to feel elevated. But see, I don't see that you're wanting an elevated position. I think you're in pain, and you know that this is not the ultimate of where you want to be.
You know that part of you.
your next question.
So tell me, okay, so what I'd like for us to do is to understand, I'm going to mention a scripture to you to show you how important it is to do the thing that you're saying that you really want. And this is the passage immediately following the Lord's Prayer, where it says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive the sins of others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So this is huge. It is a big deal that you have a heart of willingness to forgive. So this is what I'd like for you to focus on for a moment. I know you said that you've tried, but you have great, you know, it's like you said, I can't. Do you believe me when I say that if God tells you to do something, that you actually can do it?
Right.
Okay.
I do believe that.
Okay. Because I want you to take God at His word. And for Him to say, specifically, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Notice it says forgive as the Lord forgave you. So you and I didn't deserve to be forgiven, and yet He chose to forgive us. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to imagine, and this is just a way that I have found it, a visual. It's like, imagine kind of a meat hook around your neck, and on the end of that meat hook is a burlap bag, where the bag is held by the hook, except let's say your hands are also holding open that bag. Now, all of these things that you've mentioned are rocks. They're boulders. They're, 5 pounds, 2 pounds. Some are 8 pounds. They're heavy. But by the time you mention all these things that have caused you such pain, by the time, and we're going to go through this. I have written down the list of what you've told me. And what I would like to know is, since God says for you to forgive, are you willing to literally see that all of this pain is heavy? I mean, it's kind of like taking all of the, 50 pounds, 70 pounds of all this weight. You were not created to carry that weight. God did not create you to have to carry all this. And this is one of the reasons why you called.
Right.
And by the way, when you said, it impacts your family, Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. A bitter root bears bitter fruit.
As believers, we celebrate the arrival of the baby Jesus this time of year. In your lifetime, there are two important questions about Jesus that you must answer. Do you believe He is God? And what will you do with Him? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." We have, as a special offer to our listeners today, a book that June Hunt has written titled, "Jesus, Is He God?" We want you to have this book for just $5. In fact, if you're brand new to our ministry, we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you are new to our ministry, we'll provide the book to you with a simple toll-free phone call, 800-488-HOPE.
If you're calling to purchase the book, you might consider bypassing our busy phone lines with a visit to our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673, or hopefortheheart.org.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress with June Hunt. We do love being part of your life. Thanks for letting us. Any night you want to go on the air, 1-800-917 will get you connected with us. 1-800-NIGHT-17. Quickly, in line of Penny's call tonight, materials we talked about on the topic of adultery, the snare of an affair. You can cold order that. Heart of the Matter series on that topic. Another Heart of the Matter series with the CDs included on this one on the topic of forgiveness that you can get. It's a difficult area, how to forgive someone. And they will add to June's best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. Check these out tonight at 1-800-488-4673. Final segment means we get back to the phones and June's talking here tonight with Penny.
Well, Penny, I want you to imagine, as I said a moment ago, just this hook around your neck, and it's holding a bag. It's holding like a potato sack, like a burlap bag, except it's not potatoes that are in the bag. And I want us to take all of the things that you have mentioned. And we're going to mention the specifics that you've told me, that I've written down. And then if there's anything else that comes to mind, I want you to mention it to me. And the reason we do this is because if you continue to feel that you can't forgive, unfortunately, it will keep you in bondage.
Right.
And I know that's not what you want.
No, I got down on my knees and, you know, I prayed. And I mean, it was like the next morning, as soon as my eyes opened, it was just terrible thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what I was praying for.
Okay. And we're going to talk about what do you do after we do this. By the way, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So there are multiple places in the Old Testament and the New Testament that talks about forgiveness. So this is a consistent theme, and realize the reason of that is, this is so important, is the whole number one point, the number one reason Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins is so that we would be forgiven. It's he took the penalty of our sin onto himself.
Right.
So that if we would humble our hearts and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, then we would be totally forgiven. Not because we deserved it, but realizing also that we change. We have a changed life when we truly come into a life-changing relationship with Christ. Yet, there can be painful things like this that kind of claw at us. And I can certainly see when it's the man you were married to being married now to your son's ex-wife, where that blew up your blew up his family, and then not having your granddaughter, she takes the granddaughter and is, you know, 6-year-old child that you would love to have a quality and quantity time with. So I really understand how this can be so painful. Now, I'd like for you to pray with me, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Dear Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for caring for how much I've been hurt. Repeat that after me. Thank you for caring.
Thank you for caring.
About how much my heart has been hurt.
About how much my heart has been hurt.
You know all the pain I have felt.
You know all the pain I have felt.
Because of the way my daughter-in-law has conducted her life.
Because of the way my daughter-in-law has conducted her life.
The way she has ruined the family.
The way she has ruined the family.
Gone after my former husband.
She's gone after my former husband.
The pain of her being jealous of me.
The pain of her being jealous of me.
Trying to steal my identity.
Trying to steal my identity.
Even pretending to be my ex-husband.
Even pretending to be my ex-husband.
By texting me when it's really her.
By texting me when it's really her.
I feel so much pain about my granddaughter.
I feel so much pain about my granddaughter.
Her being taken away from me.
Her being taken away from me.
Being isolated from me.
And isolated from me.
You know the pain I felt when she isolated my son.
Even the pain I felt when she isolated my son.
And then all of her manipulation.
All of her manipulation.
Deception.
Deception.
The lies.
And lies.
How she's left a path of destruction.
How she's left a path of destruction.
And hurt our entire family.
And hurt my family.
Lord God, thank you for understanding why this is so painful.
Dear God, thank you for understanding why this is so painful.
Right now, I release all this pain into your hands.
Right now, I release all this pain into your hands.
And I'm asking you to lift that pain off of me.
And I'm asking you to lift that pain off of me.
Just as though they are heavy, heavy rocks that I can no longer carry.
Just as though they are heavy, heavy rocks that I can no longer carry.
And the heaviest of all, I am choosing right now to do.
And the heaviest of all is I am choosing right now to do.
As an act of my will.
As an act of my will.
I choose to forgive her.
I choose to forgive her.
Right now, I take her off of my emotional hook.
I take her off my emotional hook.
And I'm putting her onto your hook.
And I'm putting her onto your hook.
I refuse all thoughts of revenge.
I refuse all thoughts of revenge.
I realize whatever is broken within her.
I realize whatever's broken within her
needs to be healed.
Needs to be healed.
Obviously, there is a great... obviously, she is not whole within her heart.
Obviously, she is not whole within her heart.
And I do pray that one day...
And I do pray that one day...
she would allow you to truly heal her.
She will allow...
You, God, to heal her.
Heal her.
She needs a total change of life.
She needs a total change of life.
And that way she won't be as she is now.
And that way she won't be as she is now.
Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me.
And Jesus, thank you for forgiving me.
And setting me free.
And setting me free.
Thank you for giving me the power to forgive her.
Thank you for giving me the power to forgive her.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
How are you feeling right now?
Wow. I feel wow. It's like, okay, is it that simple?
Well, I will tell you what I want you to do. You have chosen, see, to do what God wants you to do.
Yes.
And a lot of people won't do that, but you did it.
Right.
Now, this is what I want you to do. Every time you think about her, every time her face comes into your mind, if every time somebody mentions her name, whatever it is, that anything that has to do with her, I want you to pray that she will allow God to change her. See, God is willing to change anybody, right?
Right.
I mean, he can. He can change anybody, but everybody has free will.
Right.
And so, just think of this. Let's say, down the road, she were willing to let God change her. Well, if she becomes whole, then you would have a right relationship. There would be more access to your granddaughter. There would be healthier relationships all the way around, even though it is a sticky situation.
Right.
But the main thing is, this is why I'm asking you to pray for her, because it's biblical. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In truth, you have felt persecuted, correct?
Yes.
Okay, then if you're going to do what God wants you to do, Matthew 5:44 says, pray for those who persecute you. So every time you think of her, turn that into a prayer. And every time, by the way, this is something you do again and again. You know, some people think, oh, well, I forgave, and it's as though it's a one-time act. Well, if I were to step on your toe and I'd say, oh, please forgive me, well, that's a one-time act. I think you would do that, correct?
Right.
You'd forgive me for stepping on your toe. But this is different. This is severe pain, severe woundedness, and therefore what we are to do is to forgive again and again. This is like where Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive? That's what Peter asked.
Right.
And he said seven times, and then Jesus came back and said, no, Peter, it's 70 times seven. The point is, every time you think of her, pray that she will allow God to change her. Is that not her greatest need?
Exactly.
And
thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm glad that you're feeling freedom. Anything else you want to say?
Just God bless you for what you're doing, and you've certainly helped me tonight.
Well, sweetheart, I'm going to be sending you our... They are called, it's called a Heart of the Matter series. They have CDs on this very topic. And I think this is going to help you help others, because there are a lot of people who don't know how to forgive. And in addition to that, on the CD that also has the biblical counseling keys, I'm also going to send you the book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. This is a gift to you from our ministry. You continue to hang on to hope.
Others you can call tonight, order those resources, including the bestseller, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. 1-800-488-4673 for June. I'm Jim Kress. Good night from Hope of the Night.